Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I feel bad personally, and I'll open it up to everybody. I know people in Minnesota are upset. People in Cleveland are upset. I just don't want to say anything too terribly nasty about Daniel Carlson or Zane Gonzalez personally. I don't want to do it personal because both guys, Zane Gonzalez is obviously not missing the kicks on purpose, but we have to face facts. You got to do what you got to do. And if you're not making kicks, it's a zero-sum game. You either made the kick or you didn't make the kick. And if you didn't make the kick, you're costing us drives. You're costing me my own mentality and my own emotions, and I can't handle it. You miss four kicks in a game, there's no other way we can do it. You miss three kicks in a game? I'm sorry. And I know rookies and all this stuff, I don't know how much developing you need. It's a finite job. It is a journeyman's job. It's a very tough job to do. Being a kicker in the NFL for any given amount of time is obviously an extremely difficult job. But if you can't be one of the best, if you're a team, I can't afford to sit around. I don't want to get nasty about it. I don't want to start talking about Daniel Carlson or his family or Zane Gonzalez in his. I'm not going to do that. And I won't do it in the morning, and I don't want to do it now. I know that he was trying to make the kicks. Both guys were trying to make the kicks. They didn't make the kicks. It wasn't like they weren't making them on purpose. But obviously, it will have fans feeling the same way that people felt in Ace Ventura.
It was all that Dan Marino's fault. Everyone knows that. If he had held the ball laces out like he's supposed to, Ray would never have missed that kick. Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell. Would you like a cookie, son?
What do you know?
They're little footballs.
Laces out.
I think the holds were fine for all those kicks, at least for the most part, from what I can guess. I feel bad for Zane Gonzalez personally. I feel bad for Daniel Carlson personally, because you know their names. And most fans out there, the only reason you know their names is not Adam Vinatieri or Phil Dawson or maybe Sebastian Janikowski or any one of these other guys. It's you know their names because they didn't perform well today. And for Carlson, and at least for the Vikings, you got a tie. And I know ties can't be a very good thing. And immediately, because they don't have ties very often in the NFL, immediately, well, you know, we got to fix these ties because you have ties the first 2 weeks of the season. Ties suck, and immediately they talk about, well, ties are like kissing your sister, which I need to know. Now, I don't have a sister. I need to know what weird, warped circumstance there is where you have to kiss your sister. Hickey, do you have a sister?
I do, yes.
Have you found yourself in a situation you have been forced to kiss your sister?
Thankfully, I've not been in that situation yet, no.
Like, well, how does that happen? Are you a what family member? You know what? I might not want to know the answer to that in some circumstances. But what family member would hey, you know what, I want to see you two kiss. Let's see you and your sister. You understand how weird that is, even coming out of my mouth to say that?
It's one of those sayings that, yeah, it just really make doesn't much sense.
It's like, where would you kiss your sister? Where on earth would you kiss your sister? Christmas gatherings in front of, why would you do it? Is there a kiss and make up? You don't need to kiss and make up. You can hug. You don't need to kiss sisters. What's the thing of like kissing your sister? There's no like kissing your sister. You say, well, it's like kissing your sister. Like every guy who's had a sister has been through that. Maybe something on the cheek at most. Anything else? Ugh. You're not doing that for anything. No grandma wants to see that. At least I hope not. And I know nobody wants to see a tie. But you're not getting ties anymore because you're not going to switch it to college rules because college rules, you're not having fantasy football college. So the stats, you'd have to take out the stats. If you wanted to, you'd have to remove the stats of it. Second of all, is that when you leave it to coaches, and one of the most overrated things to say is that a coach was quote-unquote playing not to lose. They all play not to lose. They're all doing it. Like, there are certain coaches in the history of football who have made decisions to win, to go after the gusto and win. And we remember them because they're so few and far between. Tom Osborne, instead of kicking the extra point to tie the game in the national championship, going for two to win the national championship, that's a Stones move. You remember that. Guys who make those moves to win, you remember those things. Oh, hey, we put it on the line. We try to win. Bronco Mendenhall doing it. You remember that because it's so different. But if you give coaches a chance, they will always go to the path of least resistance. They'll always go to the path of the safest. These are guys who are to control every single movement. They try to control every single movement of 22 people because you're trying to control your own 11 and the 11 of those around you to try to control the movement of 22 people on every single play up to, what, 160-plus times a game over the course of 16 games? So what you do is you take the ultimate team game in the ultimate human element, where guys are moving in different directions and you must be doing the thing that is assigned to you at all times. And so for a coach to get any sort of sleep whatsoever at night, you'll do the path of least resistance. So if you leave any avenue where there could be a tie, where you'll leave it in the hands or the feet of your kickers or anything to that nature, you're going to do that because it's the safest possible outcome. A coach in the NFL, and you see these guys, it's all about risk management. How much are we going to lose by doing this move? How much are we going to lose by doing that move? It is all not to lose. Well, you got to coach him to win. How many times? Pat Shurmur today punting on 4th and inches. Coaching to win? Nope. Guys punt at the opponent's 40. Coaching to win? No, 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 no. Even myself, kick the field goal. Like when the Falcons start off against the Eagles last week. You get stoned down there at the goal line, 4th and goal, get the 0 off the board, put the 3 up there. You got some points on the board, and now you don't have to deal with that psychologically. They go for the gusto. Dan Quinn does it. They end up getting stuffed. It's downhill the rest of the game. Even though they got away with it, the Eagles got away with it, it was downhill the rest of the game. So most of the time when they decide to go for something and to try to take a winning move to make a winning move, it ends up biting them in the ass, and it looks ridiculous in the long run, and none of these coaches want to be embarrassed or none of these coaches want to have to answer for something like that. So as long as there's still a way to tie, there's just going to be ties. And also, when the ultimate outcome of a tie is that it really can't hurt you, if you're 7-8-1 instead of 7-9, you still have one less loss than the team around you, you could still win the division, just like what Carolina did a couple of years ago. Or when you're 9-6-1 the other way around. So if there's a tie and it's safe, coaches will say, well, it's like, quote-unquote, kissing your sister, or this feels like a loss, or this feels like a weird moment of purgatory or something like that. What they're really thinking is, God, thank God we didn't lose. Because most of these coaches, they're just relieved when they win anyway. The only sincere joy a coach gets in a win is when they win the Super Bowl. And only a handful of guys are really able to do it. Everybody else, they're just relieved. They're relieved they win another week. They're relieved they get to keep their job another week. They're relieved that their players will listen to them for another week. That their fans will go with what they're trying to sell them for another week. That they'll just be able to live that dream just another week. Losing is the horrible thing. Winning, and even a tie, is a relief to them. So we'll keep leaving it in the kicker's feet. The problem that's becoming is that the kickers are getting worse. I don't know if it's a millennial thing. Might as well. I mean, they're killing everything else, so I might as well blame it on millennials. I don't know if it's that, but the kickers are getting worse. Maybe it's the different rules with the extra points. But when you're in a dome today, and you're the Cleveland Browns, and you have 3 kicks go left and 1 kick go right, you look up to the heavens, and what's the most frustrating thing for a Browns fan is that you know, if you're a Browns fan, you know you're close. That it's bubbling, and it's there. And if you win one of these games, it feels like 2 or 3 could get ripped off, and then all of a sudden you're back, or you're on your way back to where you're supposed to go. Because they played well enough to win today. Defense was good. Got after Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, still had his yards. They were able to get around Alvin Kamara. They were still able to get around Michael Thomas. They even had their catches and had some of their yards, and they were still able to do that. You're missing kicks, you're losing games. It feels like that the record is in people's heads. And the same thing you could look up towards with Minnesota, because they've competed at a high level. It's not about losing with Minnesota. It's about not being able to get over the hump when they need to get over the hump. So you have both teams. One team could be a Super Bowl champion. The other team's just trying to win a game for the first time in nearly 2 years. But it's the same problem going through. And it leads us to a week two, which is always so much fun and so much more interesting than a lot of other weeks. Because 0-2, 0-1, you can deal with the hiccup. 0-1, you can deal with a slow start. You can deal with, it's a little bit rough. It's almost a mulligan week because you didn't have a lot of time in training camp, and teams just aren't what they seem. Week two, you start off 0-2, and all of a sudden you got your back against the wall. Week two, and you win, and you're 2-0. You feel like you're high-flying. Like down in Tampa right now, they're loving life. Ryan Fitzpatrick is dressed up like DeSean Jackson. He looks, with the bare chest out, he looks like he's dealing coke left, right, and center down in Florida, and he's loving everything about everything that he's rubbing his beard with offensive linemen together, which is totally different than kissing your sister in that case, to bring it around to 6 degrees of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And now you have a team down there that's loving life. They have no Jameis Winston problem or drama or anything with him on the field, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is putting it on teams to go down to New Orleans to win on the road, to score 48 points, and then to be able to beat the Eagles at home at 2-0. We started this season wondering if Dirk Cutter was going to get canned before Jameis Winston actually plays. And right now at 2-0, they're living high on the hog. At 0-2, you look at some of these other teams around the league, or even 0-1-1, and you got questions. Even the Saints might have questions at 1-1, because there's still a question, are the Browns better or have the Saints been bad? The Texans are at 0-2. The Giants are at 0-2 and are wasting each other's time and wasting Saquon Barkley's time, because when you make that pick for a running back, you tell the world that you're trying to compete. And for the Steelers at 0-2, it's not about hitting panic buttons, because it shouldn't be about hitting panic buttons. But you're getting about as close to it as you possibly can. It's not about losing. It's also about infighting. It's not just not coming up on the final score and not just being 0-2, because technically I know you're 0-1-1. But when I'm messing it up, how does that feel towards a Steeler fan? Because 0-1-1 feels like 0-2 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got infighting with the players. You got Bud Dupree sliding into Instagrams, making mama jokes to fans. That happened earlier today. You have Le'Veon Bell, who says he's on a beach. You have players who are talking about Le'Veon Bell. And you got an offensive coordinator calling 60 passes in a game where, when you're down 21-0, that's understandable. You're trying to win. You're trying to get back into the game. So, yeah, you're going to have to put the ball in the air with Ben Roethlisberger. But when it's 21-21 at halftime and you're throwing the ball like that, you're calling a game emotionally. You're not calling the game the right way. James Conner is languishing while he was fantastic against the Browns last week. You gave up a 14-point lead with 7 minutes left to go. Your head's come off, and now it's starting to get to you emotionally. And you got the people at the door with the pitchforks in Pennsylvania. At 0-1-1, don't ever forget this. With that type of talent, with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame wide receiver, I don't know what to make of Le'Veon Bell. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. And all pro guys on that football team. This isn't a hope. This is an expectation. And there's teams that can handle it. Jacksonville's come back out swinging. They're not crushed by their own weight. They made a statement today against the New England Patriots. It's week two, but they sure as hell made a statement, and you can better believe Blake Bortles is feeling that way. But at 0-1-1, Pittsburgh's looking around asking questions. Pittsburgh's looking around asking questions of whether one of their minority owners was right about firing the head coach. So week two, whether it's worth it or not, drips with storylines. Mahomes at 2-0, putting the league on its ear, putting the Steelers on their ear. The Steelers in their own right at 0-1-1 from what I just said. The Texans at 0-2 and people putting it at the doorstep of Bill O'Brien, because now he's run out of excuses with guys that he's lost. The Giants sucking up the room at 0-2. The Cowboys staying alive at 1-1. And for the Bills, when you have a guy who retires at halftime, I don't know whether you're coming or going as a franchise. And let it be a lesson to every single fan base out there. The fall from the penthouse to the outhouse can be instantaneous. They were one of the best stories in the NFL last year, and they've become already in one offseason one of the biggest question marks for the future or one of the biggest dumpster fires to avoid, whichever way you want to take it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You've seen week two. Who's looking good? Who's in serious trouble? Take your calls when we come back. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Signing off, coming up in 20 minutes, 855-212-4CBS. Let's get to the phones. Week two, who's in serious trouble? Steelers, Texans. Do you count the Texans as in serious trouble? Did you think that they were going to compete for the division? I thought I had them winning the division. I might have had them winning the division. I might have been high that night. 855-212-4CBS. Let me get to BP in Cleveland. BP, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Ken. How you doing tonight?
BP, I'm doing wonderful. Go ahead, friend.
I'll tell you what. It was a tough loss here in Cleveland today. It's been a tough couple of years, as you know. But today's game might have been one of the all-time worst with that kicking, that kicker, I'll tell you.
Well, the thing with the Browns, that what made today worse is that they're making you care again because you feel that they're better.
Yeah.
And they're playing in these games that they are better. And that's not moral victories. They're paid to win, and no one's going to keep a job because they tried really, really hard. But you also feel that if they can – and they got a very tough schedule. But if they win yep. one of these games, it feels that they can make it two or maybe three and then can get some positivity rolling in their direction. And I think that was the most frustrating part, that it's always something. There's always going to be something that gets in the way of that. And I still – and BP, you may disagree. I still lay this at the doorstep of Sasha Brown, and I'll tell you why here in a second. But go ahead.
I wanted to mention that, I'm going to the game this Thursday night against the Jets. Do you think the Browns, I think they can win that game. And then I agree with you. I think then they play the Raiders on the road. So I do think they can win a couple of games and that'll get them back on track.
You know, I agree. I think they can win. There's so many fans who are making a mistake, and BP, thank you for the call. They're saying it's a gimme. Don't make that mistake. The Jets are an up and down team. They came out, they were gangbusters. The Dolphins stoned them today. And so you might have one different thought about it. Now, part of that, I thought, was the curse of Fireman Ed showing up because he came out of retirement. Did he have to roll back in his 401k? I don't know how you do that when you retire as a fan. Did they get him a cake when he first left? I'm not sure. Either way, I don't think that the Jets are some sort of a gimme. But Thursday night, that becomes a very interesting pinnacle for Browns fans. If you have a Thursday night nationally televised football game and you lose that game, and Sam Darnold looks good, there's questions about Dorsey, whether you like it or not, as the general manager. There's questions about, obviously, Hugh Jackson, but again, you can get those questions in the middle of June. And then there's going to be questions of Tyrod Taylor. Today was the quintessential Tyrod Taylor game, where he has a game that he doesn't look overwhelmingly great, except for one play of a 47 yards, I think, which was fantastic to Antonio Callaway to give them a lead with a minute and 36 left to go. But when you look at the everything else, it was whatever. But when you look at the stats, it looked pretty fine. Like, that is, for a Bills fan, Bills fans are probably laughing because that is about as Tyrod gets. But when I go back over the last couple of years, why I still have to leave this to the doorstep of Sasha Brown is last year when they're up against Green Bay, they didn't just lose to Green Bay. They lost to themselves. They lost to the Ghost. When you have the year before where they're 1-15, you're battling an 0 for that year, and then when you're going into 2018 and you know what the previous record was, because no one can allow you to forget that until you win. When you're looking at 1-31-1 in that game and you're up and it's the fourth quarter and you're up by 9, it's a two-possession game and it's poppable and it's right there. I know that there's new guys, but it's still that football team, and you start living in your own head. And so now you start counting mistakes, you start overcorrecting, and you start having problems. And so that's what's so frustrating, is that you get close, and this is almost uncharted territory. I would say it's uncharted, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers went through this back in the early 1970s. And you just wonder, how's it going to happen? When is the next way they're going to lose a football game? And this week, I can't yell at a guy. I can't sit there and scream obscenities at Zane Gonzalez. He's a person. And it wasn't like he was missing the kicks on purpose. George in L.A., you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, George.
Ken, what's going on, brother?
Hi, George. It's good to talk to you, friend.
You too, my old friend. Hey, check this out, Ken. They lose their kicker in the first quarter. Johnny Hecker comes in, kicks a field goal, two extra points. They just like seem like they're playing preseason game, getting warmed up. I know they haven't played nobody yet, Ken, but this is a pretty damn good-looking team.
Well, I don't care. You know what? You never apologize. And, George, I know what you're saying, and thank you for the call, brother. You're never apologizing for winning any game in the NFL. I don't care if it was over the Cardinals. I know you didn't beat anybody. The Cardinals are already a drafting team. But never apologize for a win and never apologize for how you did it. If you would have won 3-0, maybe you could have been upset with it. But you won 34-0, and the Rams look like they're all hunky-dory and everything's perfectly fine. 855-212-4CBS. It's just so good, there's very little to say else about them. Derek in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening. How's it going? Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you, Derek. Go ahead.
Yeah, just want to just throw out a couple of quick points in regards to, the week two action and the kind of the storylines. I mean, it's still early, but I don't know. When you look at these 2-0 teams like Cincinnati or Miami, are you really sold on those teams this early? And in regards to the teams that I think may be in trouble, I think Detroit is in trouble. I thought coming to the season that they were challenged. Green Bay in that division and Minnesota, maybe not win it, but kind of, 9-7, 10-6 maybe. I think they're in trouble. And I also think Arizona, they're definitely looking at, I think, a top five pick in next year's draft. And I don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh, but I got a funny feeling that I think that thing's going to blow up in Pittsburgh. They're already calling for a tournament fit last season. Then he got the deal with Roethlisberger. I want to retire. I don't know if I want to play. The Le'Veon Bell distraction. And then with that, does Cincinnati or Baltimore have enough to overtake that division and maybe make a push in AFC to come playoff time in December, January?
Well, I'll tell you what, right now throughout the first 2 weeks, in Cincinnati you could try to take some away from them in week one. You can't do it now, Derek, and thank you for the call. They're the class of the division right now. And I'm looking at what Pittsburgh's doing through the first couple of weeks. Again, you let a 14-point lead slip through your fingers on the road in Cleveland when they have just been your whipping boy since Ben Roethlisberger got to Pittsburgh. And then you're at home, you're getting your clock clean, 21-0. You tie the game up at 21, and then the rest of the game you decide to throw the ball 60 times. That's something that, again, you're calling games emotionally. I have to look at the top, and I have to look at through it all the way to the bottom. So that starts with Mike Tomlin. That starts with the offensive and defensive coordinators. It goes to Ben Roethlisberger, and it goes to everybody else. Because let you be known this. The Steelers are one of two teams that go into this, Jacksonville, I'm sorry, but who came into this season with real expectations of they're one of the two top teams that can go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. And Jacksonville made a statement today. That's absolutely true. But the two teams that people were taking seriously were Pittsburgh and New England. And if you lose this, if you don't get to an AFC championship, I'll leave it here. If you don't get to an AFC championship, that's where I'll set the bar. Because Pittsburgh's a patient organization. They do things the right way. It took them 30 years to learn it, but they've been doing it right for now 50 years. If you don't get to an AFC championship game, I got to look at everybody. I have to examine Ben Roethlisberger. I have to examine whatever's going on at the running back position. Antonio Brown's maybe the only one I don't have to examine, because even though he's pretty showy and he can get crazy at times, he always backs it up. How big of an upset and a disappointment would it be? You have that much talent on that football team, and you don't get to a Super Bowl, and you don't win a Super Bowl, and you lose in divisional round playoff games? You got to be serious with yourself about this. I know that it's 2 weeks in, and you might not want to hit a panic button, but it's damn sure time to hit a panic button. You got Le'Veon Bell, who's sitting on a beach right now. I got Bud Dupree, who is sending fans nasty messages on Instagram because they tweeted at him or they Instagrammed him during a game. You need to look at this and go, this was your division to win. If you can't handle it, somebody else will. And if you can't handle it, somebody else will take it over. Because the behavior that we're seeing so far throughout this season, I've seen a lot of teams act like dummy. I've never seen the Pittsburgh Steelers do this. 855-212-4CBS. More of you coming up. Who's in trouble after week two and sounding off? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
855-212-4227. That's the CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Save 15% or more in 15 minutes. Go to geico.com. I was asked a question by Hickey during the break. We'll get the sounding off. We've got to get to a call. We'll get the sounding off coming up in a bit. I was asked a question by Hickey about Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, and the Browns made it known yesterday, which was a bit of a surprise. The Browns made it known yesterday that they intend to cut Josh Gordon on Monday, which immediately has led to this cavalcade of teams going, well, what could you trade for him or anything? And the question has become for a lot of Browns fans what to do with Josh Gordon, because Browns fans have been vested in this. It's been basically their own hope, their own version of waiting for Godot for the last 6 years, because the team itself has been terrible. And Josh Gordon, it's always the thought of, well, how could he come back and how could he help out? It's just the basis of this. For seeing Josh Gordon and seeing what he's been over the last few years, there's a lot of things that I don't know how great of a person Josh Gordon is. I think that he does have serious problems with substance abuse. I think that he tries to do things the right way, or will try, but I also know that he's a child, and he acts like a child. This is a guy who claimed that he forgot his own paternity test. Like, you forget to take the garbage out. You forget sunglasses as you're leaving the door. You don't forget court-ordered paternity tests. And so people, and this has been part of the Browns' problem, is that they have been doing nothing but making excuses for the guy for the last 6 years. I'll leave it with this. This is fair warning to one of the teams. I think if you get him, he may play well for you, or he's just basically this generation's Marcus Dupree. I don't think he likes football very much. I think Josh Gordon plays football because a lot of us want him to play football. Because he's 6'6". He makes incredible plays when he is out there on the field. But what it takes to be on the field is something he doesn't want a part of. He doesn't want to put in the work. He likes working out. I don't think that he likes to put in the work. I think that he finds practice extremely boring and doesn't want any part of it. I really don't think he wants to be a football player. There are guys, if it's just about the money, there's guys who they've gone on and they've had great careers. In fact, it's made it easier. Darrelle Revis has made things a lot easier because it's easier to separate good guy from player or anything like that, because you know that you can go right at him for being about the money. With Josh Gordon, there's so many other things going on in the head. I don't know what you're getting. And so many people, hey, what's he worth? What's he worth? Sixth-round pick? Maybe? Is that really what you want to give? You can maybe give that up. Other than that, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. They've given him how many chances in Cleveland? And so many, well, it's indicative of the Browns. Okay, well, he could very well, and as far as him not wanting to play football, he may very well, I know he doesn't like, I don't think he likes playing football. I know he doesn't like playing for the Cleveland Browns. And you can look through the Instagram stories and everything in the history just to see that. He don't like playing. He don't like being in Cleveland. He don't like playing for the Browns. So if they trade him and you get him, you might end up getting a Hall of Fame talent. You are getting a Hall of Fame talent. Will he be a Hall of Fame player? I'm not so sure. Everything that's told me, everything he's done in his career has told me that it will stop at that. That there will be talent, but he is this generation's Marcus Dupree. 855-212-4CBS. Evan in Annapolis, Maryland. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. Hey, Evan. How you doing?
Hi, Evan. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Ken? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
That's a lie. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I was just wondering what you think about the Ravens, man. They really didn't play very well on Thursday. I was just wondering.
Let me ask you this. They were so good against the Bills, but the Bills are bad. They were bad against the Bengals. How do you feel about the Ravens? Tell me how I should feel about the Ravens right now. I want you to sell me. You go.
Well, I mean, they just didn't get off to a good start on Thursday, and they need to bring, I don't know, they just need to figure out what they need to do to get all things firing at once. And they need to start strong and finish stronger.
Did you want me to talk you into liking the Ravens this year? Is that what this was about? Why did you call then, Evan? Tell me why you called.
What do you think about Conor McGregor fighting Nurmagomedov?
Thank you, Evan. Time for sounding off.
What did the coaches have to say after today's NFL action? It's time for Sounding Off.
Fabulous stuff. Fabulous as always. Hick, take it away.
All right. We'll start with the Buffalo Bills, who have already endured enough turmoil for a full season through just the first two games of this year. After saying rookie quarterback Josh Allen will sit for the beginning part of the year, the Bills turned to their seventh overall pick after just 1 week. But one of the most bizarre stories of the NFL season came out of Buffalo earlier today, as Bills players after the game said cornerback Vontae Davis quit at halftime, changed his clothes, and retired in the middle of the game. Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander tried to explain what happened.
You've seen anything like that in your NFL career?
Never have seen it ever. Pop Warner, high school, college, pros, never heard of it, never seen it. And it's just completely disrespectful to his teammates.
Did he say anything to you?
Did he say anything?
He didn't say nothing to nobody.
He left?
When did he find out? You know as much as I know. I know I found out going in the second half of the game. Coming out, said he said he's not coming out, he retired. So.
What?
Yep. That's it. So
who said that? Who said he?
Sean said
guys on the sideline. I mean, guys heard about it and said that he wasn't coming back out.
It would have been so much better if he had just went back out there, finished the game, and decided to retire today. Vontae Davis has had a nice, 10-year career? Well, 9 years and 1.5 games career. And has been a good, he's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's been a good football player and a pretty decent person from everything I can gather. Hope I'm not missing anything. And to walk out of there in the middle of it, there's nothing worse. There is nothing worse than you getting your ass kicked and doing something and you're supposed to take it seriously and someone just up and quits. And so for Vontae Davis, I wish somebody would have just talked to him and said, listen, just put your pads back on. Ain't gonna win this anyway. Just put your pads back on, finish the game, and go in and tell the coach and tell the owners that go tell the Pegulas that you just don't feel physically up to it anymore. You can't get through this season. If your heart's out of it, your heart's out of it. Football's a tough game to play. Your heart has to be into it. I was just telling you about Josh Gordon. I don't think his heart's into it. Vontae Davis, he's put his heart out there for 9 years, and some of those years have been rough years. But to leave in the middle of the game, that's something that's ugly for the rest of your life. I would not want to go out that way. He wrote a great long thing. Like, he'd been thinking about this for a long time. Don't think of that. And definitely that ass-kicking they took against the Ravens week one, he was thinking about it a little bit harder. That's an ugly way to go. No way in hell. We all get worked into a shoot sometimes. Man, you got to get yourself talked out of something like that. Next.
All right, the record number for ties in the NFL season is 2, and that was done 3 different times, with the last one coming in 2016. Well, 2 weeks into the 2018 season, that record has been tied as the Vikings and Packers battled to a 29-29 tie. Special teams faltered big time for Minnesota as the Vikings had a punt block and return for a touchdown, and they also missed 3 field goals from rookie kicker Daniel Carlson, with 2 of those misses coming in overtime. After the game, both head coach Mike Zimmer and Carlson said that in the end, they just have to make plays.
Guys are supposed to do their job, so we should have thrown a ball in the end zone a couple times at the end, but I believed that the guy was going to make the kick. He said put it in the middle of the field, and it was dead smack in the middle. And and in practice every day he drills them, and so that's a disappointing thing for me. We come out here and we do that, but we almost had a punt block last week. We got one this week, so we're going to be. Cranking on this special team's good.
That last one was probably more just, something with the confidence after missing, twice earlier. That's frustrating. And, obviously a shorter one, I should never miss like that.
That right there, he was drafted in the 5th round this year. That right there, I'd never draft a kicker. Ever. Whether it be the 1st round or 7th round or whatever. Don't give me Sebastian Janikowski or anything. That right there is why I'll never draft a kicker. Because certain guys, I could take a guy in the 5th round and maybe he makes my 53-man roster and I can develop him. So over time, he can become better. And you've seen 4th and 5th and 6th round guys and they become good, competent players in the NFL or even more so. A kicker is a zero-sum game. You either make it or you miss it. And in no other world do you really take a 5th round guy, unless you have to, and put him in there in a moment where he has to absolutely save a game for you. And we do this with kickers, and it's a zero-sum game. There's no way in hell I'll ever draft a kicker. I don't care. to put him in this position. And for Mike Zimmer, I don't blame Mike Zimmer. He's a kicker. He said put it in the middle of the field. You want to have faith in your guy. You're trying to get the path of least resistance. You don't want to throw it there in the end zone. You get it turned over the end zone, you always ask what if. Because he is a professional kicker. Usually they make him. So I agree with Mike Zimmer. I don't want to say anything nasty about Daniel Carlson, just like I won't say anything nasty about Zane Gonzalez. It wasn't like they missed him on purpose. There's just no way in hell. Zane Gonzalez was drafted in the 7th round. Daniel Carlson was drafted in the 5th round. I'll take it. I'll take any other position except for punter. I won't take that either. But I'll take almost any other position in those rounds, in any round, other than a kicker. I would never, ever allow it to happen. Do we have time for one more or no?
Sure, we can do one more.
Do it.
We'll keep it short.
Now. Go.
All right. Another week with a lack of pass rush for the Oakland Raiders. Their defense has totaled so far 2 sacks and 6.5 tackles for loss through the first 2 games, as Case Keenum had clean pockets for most of the second half. After the game, head coach John Gruden was asked about how he could fix the lack of pass rush, and he gave this answer.
We got to do something. We got to get there. We got to win in some one-on-ones and maybe call up some more blitzes. We got to figure something out. We will.
I'm serious. I'm choking while I'm laughing at that. If they draft an outside linebacker, a DN, coming up this April, I swear to God, I'm serious. Oh, my God, is it so good. Why did you do it? I don't mean to laugh at a Raiders fan misfortune. I know you're giving the finger to the radio right now. I'm not laughing at you, Raider fan. I swear to God. It's just they signed John Gruden to this monstrous deal. I go, man, they got Derek Carr. Derek Carr's a good quarterback. Hey, you know, Dick Vermeil spent 14 years out of the NFL, and Dick Vermeil ended up winning a Super Bowl, and people thought he was bat crazy the first few years. You know, they could really get this thing going. And then he goes out and he trades away Khalil Mack. So you're a Raider fan. You spent a decade in the bleep abyss looking for any rope that you could get to. You get Derek Carr in the 2nd round. You got Khalil Mack right there, and this guy comes in there and trades this guy. And now you're sitting there, well, you know, we gotta dial up another blitz. Great. That's a great answer, John. Well done. Well done. I mean, what is your encore here? Oh, and Martavis Bryant is just going through the appeals process. Fantastic. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, it's why we actually celebrate tanking, because the only thing worse than losing is having your time wasted. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.